Hey guys, welcome to episode 38 of Fit Friends Happy Hour. Today, Lauren and I are going to do a quick Q&A of different nutrition questions that we have gotten. So basically, Lauren is going to rapid fire questions at me and I'm going to answer it. So hopefully these are some questions that you've thought of. They're from our listeners, so we think you're going to find it pretty informative. All right, on to the show.
Welcome to Fit Friends Happy Hour with your hosts, Katie Hake and Lauren Wrighton.
What day is it? Tuesday.
For some reason, Tuesday and Wednesday have been getting like mixed up the last couple of weeks. And I like on Tuesday, I think it's Wednesday. And then Wednesday, I think it's Thursday. And then Friday, I'm like, oh my God, it's already Friday.
That's actually a good problem to have. Remember last week, I legitimately just did not know what day it was.
Which is funny because we pretty consistently like record on the same day and we still can't get it figured out.
I've been teaching a ton of fitness classes lately. I know you have too, but I finally, after all our podcasts, practicing what I preach, removing some from my plate and not adding anything on. If you guys saw that video of Sammy saying no, could not have come at a better time.
That video that I posted on Instagram and then the Friday episode I did right after Katie is a perfect example of following through. She listened to it and she followed through. So I love that. While we're talking about social media, a little reminder from our last episode, if you listened, hopefully you did, we are still doing our challenge for you guys to post your goal. Use hashtag make it happen and either tag us or use that hashtag Fit Friends Happy Hour. And we're going to send one person a Starbucks gift card.
Because we know you all need more caffeine, so we're happy to fuel that for you.
Yeah, that's what friends are for. Okay, so let's dive right into these questions because I have a whole list and I'm really hoping to get through all of these. First one is, what's better, 3 meals or 6 small meals?
I get that question all the time, especially working with my patients. They come in for weight loss and throughout their whole life, they've been told 6 small meals throughout the day. And while there's truth that that regulates your blood sugar, I always have to go back and ask, you know, what is your schedule? What is your priorities? Because that's such a example of a cookie cutter to just say, everyone needs to do 3 meals a day. Everyone needs to do 6 small meals. Well, that depends. How do you feel after a small meal? How do you feel after a larger meal? So going back to, you know, what is your schedule? Does your schedule allow you for small meals? I personally kind of enjoy snacking all day. If I go have to go 3 meals, I know I'm not, but in my head I tell myself I'm starving even though I'm not. So smaller meals work better for me, but someone might be different, you know, especially if you work a certain job and you can't snack, and that then you eat a full lunch, you eat a big breakfast, and you eat a big dinner, then that works for you.
Yeah, and that makes me think of a question that I get all the time from working with different women is, how do you eat healthily if you are working third shift? And on top of that, you're not consistently working third shift. So like nurses, they might work overnight 2 days in a row and then have 2 days off. What's your recommendation for someone that has that kind of crazy schedule?
I've actually had a lot of patients and clients and just friends who are nurses. That's what I always think of, nurses who work third shift. But my best advice to them is to make the best routine that they can. I'll be flat out and say it, third shift just really is not, it's not the best thing for your body. There, I said it, but because you're never able to get in that constant routine, your circadian rhythm's always out of whack. My mom worked third shift her whole lives growing up. She tried going to day shift and she's always out of whack. I mean, it's kind of her new norm now. She's been doing it for 30, however many years. But if you are someone new, I get you have to do what you have to do. But if you don't have to, get off third shift. Our bodies like routine. They like going to bed around the same time, waking up around the same time, eating around the same times. But if you're in that situation where these are the cards that you're dealt, do the best routine you can on night shifts, right? Wake up and eat your first meal. A couple hours later, eat your next meal and whatever that is, 3 big meals, 6 small meals. And then on your off days, same thing. Try to get out of bed and just live as normal to a schedule that you can.
Okay. So second question, with intermittent fasting being so popular, how important is breakfast?
Again, it goes back to your schedule, also your goals. if you're doing intermittent fasting, there's a lot more science behind it, and we're not going to go into it all in this episode. But if you're someone who, you know, runs better, you've tried not eating your first meal till 11 or so, and you're not drained on energy, you have more energy, you feel good, then go for it. That works for you. Then maybe breakfast isn't essential. But let's say you're an athlete and you have early morning workouts followed by a long day, and maybe your goal isn't weight loss, it's weight maintenance, or you just need to perform better. Your weight isn't really an indicator. Then you better be eating breakfast, even if it's half a banana, it's a bar, it's half a protein shake, it's something, because studies show that your body does perform better with some fuel in your body. That's just sports nutrition.
So it sounds like what you're saying is do an experiment on yourself, and if it feels right to put your breakfast later in the day or to skip it and go for lunch, then do that and see if that works for you. But if you feel miserable, if you feel like you're starving, then it means that you need to be eating at that time.
When it comes to early morning workouts, I think post-workout nutrition is a little more, I mean, they're both important, but I think post-workout nutrition is a little more important than pre-workout. But again, experiment with eating. It also depends when your last meal is before bed. That can play a role with how you perform in the morning, just with the timing. But I will say this whole fasted cardio, I mean, if you don't eat breakfast and work out, you're not just going to magically just burn fat and that's the end of it. There's just way more science to it that I think most people, they hear that and they try to do it and they don't see results because they're probably not doing it the right way.
That makes sense. All right, so switching gears, question number three is, are raw vegetables better than cooked vegetables?
I think I've heard this question when it comes to like raw vegan diets, and eating raw is kind of this trendy thing. And while yes, it's true that when you cook vegetables, depending on the cooking method, you can lose some nutrients. On the flip side, there's also some health benefits to cooking your vegetables. So let's use spinach for an example. Even though you may lose some nutrients in the cooking method, it's not super significant. And spinach is a good example that you can actually eat more when it's cooked. So the volume that you're eating kind of makes up for the cooking preparation.
I think another example for that is cauliflower. You can only eat so much raw cauliflower, but as soon as you cook it and put Parmesan on it, oh my gosh, that's like the best combo. Then you can eat so much more of it.
I've never had that, but that sounds amazing.
You break the cauliflower florets into like really small pieces and you cook it on high heat in the oven with olive oil, and then you put Parmesan like the last like 5 or so minutes. It's so good.
That sounds delicious. Also, I think carrots and any of like your orange vegetables, when you cook those, actually the beta carotene, it's actually absorbed better. So some vegetables, when they're cooked, you actually absorb them better versus raw. So, I mean, let's be real. We all just need to eat more vegetables, whether they're cooked or raw. No matter how you eat them, most of us aren't getting the amount of vegetables in our diet that we need.
Yeah, and as you always say, it's like if you're eating all your vegetables cooked, you're eating all your vegetables raw, it's probably a better idea to have a good mix of them. Would you say that applies for this too?
For sure.
It's all about balance, man. All right, question number four is, what are the benefits behind chocolate and wine? Oh my gosh, the Facebook articles of like another study about how wine is good for you. So tell us the quick and dirty truth behind that.
The thing with nutrition in general and social and the media is one study gets blown up into this huge thing, but there are benefits to specifically red wine and dark chocolate. That's because they contain antioxidants, which are known to fight cancer, fight off diseases, have these different anti-inflammatory and antioxidant effects in our body that can just make you healthier and have different health benefits. Now, that's not saying go chug a bottle of red wine and that's it. You're good to go. It's recommended moderate intake, and then dark chocolate. I mean, I'm all about having one piece of Dove dark chocolate per day. I don't see anything wrong with that. Make it work in your plan.
Yeah, dark chocolate is so much more savory. You can just eat it so much slower, but I don't do that.
If you struggle with portion control, we talk about this all the time. With chocolate, go buy the baking dark chocolate chips, put them in the freezer. Ghirardelli specifically makes a dark chocolate chunks. And I only buy those when they're on sale. But keep them in the freezer. And those are such an easy, I mean, again, you have to be good with portion. But with those, you just need a couple. And it's very easy to satisfy your tastes. And like one tablespoon is not very many calories or fat.
Yeah, love that idea. All right, question number 5. Let's talk about healthy protein / junk food. So you know what I'm talking about. Protein cookies, protein bars, although we love protein bars, protein powder, and the very famous Halo Top.
This is like the bane of my existence. All these, I call them healthy junk foods. So working with bariatric patients, I have to emphasize to them the importance of protein, but never fails. They all take it, not all, a lot of them will take this to heart and they think, oh my gosh, I need to just have protein in every single thing I eat. So I'm constantly getting messages about protein chips and protein bars and protein cookies. And like you said, the Halo Top. Well, if it's got protein in it, it must be healthy, right?
Yeah, duh.
Wrong. So going back to chips, protein ice cream. What's the last word? It's still chip. It's still ice cream. It's still a cookie. So while yes, maybe that's a better option, if you're looking at the nutrition facts, this item compared to like your true homemade chocolate chip cookie with butter and Crisco and all the good stuff. But at the end of the day, I think people look at those items and they think, oh, it's really healthy, so I can just eat so many of them. But it's just like eating a candy bar. And the Halo Top, we've talked about this before. My thing against Halo Top is that, yes, it's low calorie. Yes, it's got protein. But it puts us in this mindset of, well, it's only this many calories, so I can just eat the whole thing. And I think mentally that sets you back. And it is possible to get too much protein. If you're consuming too much protein, you can get constipated. You can have really bad gas. This is the extreme effect, but you can do kidney damage if you're getting extreme amounts. You might see this like in bodybuilders or different people who are consuming excess amounts.
And if you're eating a large amount of protein and your body isn't using it, then it's just storing it as extra calories.
Yeah, it's a very expensive 2 scoops that you used when your body's only absorbing so much at one time.
All right, question number 6. How do you choose a healthy bread? What should you look for?
The dietary guidelines recommend making at least half of your grains whole grains. I think there's benefits to doing all whole grains because there's a lot of fiber, a lot of B vitamins in your whole grains. So when you're shopping for breads, you actually want to look. There's a label on there that says 50% or 100% whole grains. So looking at the label, and this is where it can get confusing because there's lots of different breads out there. Multigrain, honey grain, wheat, whole wheat, grain, whole grain. So you want to look for this little stamp that says 100% whole grain. It's got this little wheat thing on it. It's yellow. You probably recognize it if you saw it. Thinking of it, you're probably like, what the? But look for that label and you want to look at the ingredients and what's the first ingredient. So I say pick for something that has a decent amount of fiber because it's going to keep you full. And looking at the calories, you know, keeping in mind, what's the calorie count for one piece of bread versus are you always going to eat one or are you going to eat two in a sandwich? I personally think the cheap kind of bread where it's like, yes, it's very low calorie, but the pieces are tiny. It's like, what does that do for you?
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. What about rye and sourdough?
Those would not be considered whole wheat, but just like anything, I mean, if the recommendations are only at least half, you know, if you're doing those every once in a while, I think it's not a bad thing. Don't have those be your only types of breads you consume, but have some variety.
Okay, last bread example. What about pretzel buns?
Oh my gosh, pretzel buns. They're huge. Well, first of all, there's 2 pretzel buns I think of. There's some restaurant at Purdue where they literally put the sandwich on 2 soft pretzels. Do you know what I'm talking about?
No, but just like the entire soft pretzel is the bun. Oh my gosh, no, I don't remember.
I think it's DT Kirby's. If any of you Purdue Boilermakers are listening, you should go to this place and see if it's still there. But pretzel buns, they're just buns in general, gosh, they're so huge nowadays. Not saying don't eat them, but if you're going out to eat and you're trying to make a healthier choice and you look at something like a hamburger or a veggie burger or something and that's on a bun the size of your head, chances are you're getting a lot of extra calories and oil and butter and aioli and different things that are on that that you don't necessarily need. Maybe you cut up half and box up the other half, maybe half the bun, but just keep in mind that usually when you get pretzel buns and those things, the portion size is way out of whack.
All right, two more questions. This second to last one is, if I want to track my macros, number one, what does that mean? And where do I go to find out what my specific macros are?
Tracking your macros is basically another form of self-monitoring. It's very similar to calorie counting, except I guess a little more specific. So rather than counting calories, you're counting the grams of carbohydrates, fat, and protein. So those are the three macronutrients. Now you first have to know what percentage you want to get from each area. Again, this is a whole nother topic. It depends on you, the individual, and your goals. But let's say you wanted to consume 60% of your diet from carbohydrates, 20-20. Let's say that was your breakup. Basically, you take your total calorie intake of what your body needs, and you would calculate the grams from there. Each gram of macronutrient is worth a different amount of calories, and I apologize if you're like, if I lost you already, but basically just know it's another form of counting. If you're curious and this is something you want to try, I think you can just Google like how to do basically these calculators that will calculate your macros, but keep in mind that breakdown or that percentage might not be right for you.
Yeah, there are some good websites that will do the math for you. But like Katie said, you know, if they figure out your macros for a 60-20-20% split, that might not be the right thing for you. So you have to kind of play around with it. And it's good to talk to a registered dietitian like Katie Hake, because then she'll be able to give you some like specific advice on what might work for you. But if you want to try it out, you could search the internet, right? Do we even want to recommend that?
I don't know if that's the best recommendation. I can't believe I said, yeah, just Google it. But Google the calculator. Don't actually Google the recommendations.
You're like, I'm too busy. Just Google it.
That's what I tell my patients. I'm like, I'm too busy. Just go on Google. You do that anyways. Just go on there. Just kidding.
Okay, last question. Why do I crave salt? And why do I crave sugar?
I have two opinions on this. One opinion you may have heard of that, you know, if you're craving a certain thing, you might have a vitamin deficiency or lacking in some area. For example, did you know that if you crave ice, like you like to chew ice a lot, you typically have low iron?
I have heard that before. And I actually know a girl that was the case for. Like she always ate ice in college, and then she finally got blood work done and she was anemic.
I love testing this because when I heard it, I was like, oh, maybe that's not really true. And with patients, I always ask if they tell me they eat a lot of ice. I'm like, are you anemic? Do you have low iron? And they're always like, oh, how'd you know?
So do you know why that is the case? Do you know what the link is?
I mean, it has to do something with the blood in your body and oxygen levels, and I guess maybe just something with the fluids. I'm not quite sure. That's a good question. I'm going to research that.
That makes me think, during a workout the other day, we were doing a Tabata workout and someone said, what does the word Tabata come from? And I was like, oh, I don't know. And then I came home and I was like telling David, as I was about to search it, I was telling David that, and he was like, oh, it's the guy's last name. I'm like, this is embarrassing. I should have known that.
Joseph Tabata, I think was his name. Something like that. My second opinion on this is, are you really craving this or is it head hunger? I don't want to say always, but a lot of times cravings are not necessarily a real thing. There's actually some debate too about if pregnancy cravings are a real thing. You know, is it just, Lauren's like, don't say that out loud. David, if you're listening, I'm lying. Just turn the podcast off. But is it just this mental thing of, okay, I just finished my lunch and I'm craving something sweet? Or is that just your habit and what you do? Do you really need something? I think that's kind of up for debate. I would love to do more research on this topic because I think it is pretty interesting. Cravings, and I think there's definitely a psychological piece to it, though.
Yeah, I totally agree with that because I've tried to do little tests on myself when I'm not pregnant. I've tried to do tests on myself like, oh, I'm craving sugar right now, so I'll have a piece of cheese or like whatever it is, you know, or like I'll have a whatever. And it never works for me. Like I always just want the thing that I want. But I did recently hear this little thing, and tell me if you agree with this. To know if you're hungry or if you're just head hunger, if you will eat anything, that means you're actually hungry. But if you have a specific craving, that means that it's a head hunger.
Oh, I 100% agree with that. That's why I personally will always keep snacks in my bag because on my drive home, this has become a terrible habit, already confessions. But whenever I'm driving, because I have a 30-minute drive, I always feel like I have to eat and snack on something. So now I'm trying to keep a piece of fruit or a protein shake or just something that is just a backup if I don't eat it after lunch, if it makes it to my car on the way home. But because, yeah, if I'm truly hungry for that drive home, I'll eat that healthy option. 9 times out of 10, it's, I don't want that. Well, then you're not really hungry. You're not like a starving person who will eat anything.
Yeah. Maybe that'll help people kind of decipher, okay, this is like a craving just because I'm craving this because it sounds fun to eat, or no, I'm actually hungry and blah, blah, blah. I do want to say that I don't think we should do any more research on pregnancy cravings, because when someone's pregnant, they deserve to have the free card of whether or not it's true or not, you are allowed to have cravings when you're pregnant. End of story.
That was totally a lie. That was just my own. Pregnancy cravings are real. They're actually worse than any craving that you have in any phase of your life. And research shows that you need to give in to all those cravings.
Whatever gets you through the day. Whatever gets you through the day. The other thing that I cannot believe supposedly is not true during pregnancy is pregnancy brain. Supposedly there's no like research behind that, but like it's so freaking true. It's so true. Like I actually noticed I was getting kind of bummed out because I had no memory and it stuck around after having Sammy. And then I finally started noticing like the older she got that my memory was coming back and like my brain power was coming back. So I like know that it's true. Bye.
Bye. Science, you're wrong. This one, you're wrong.
Yeah, I did an experiment and I guess I'm just the exception.
That must be it. You're the exception to all the science.
Yeah.
All right, guys, that wraps up today's episode. As always, thank you so much for listening. If you haven't already, hit the subscribe button. We release podcasts on a weekly basis. We also release Fit Friday, quick tips, motivation, something fun to get you started into your week. Couple other things. If you haven't, download our free step-by-step meal prep guide at tinyurl.com/fitfriendsmealprep. Share this with a friend. And if you have any other questions on nutrition or fitness or any of the topics that we talk about, these quick rapid fire questions, let us know. Shoot us a message on Instagram. We tell you every time there's a million ways you can reach us, and we're waiting to hear from you. All right. Have an awesome week, and we'll talk to you next week. Bye.